This passage is familiar to many people. Indeed, I've preached on it before, but with a different message. St. Paul uses the metaphor of the human body to explore what it means for the church to be the body of Christ. He used it especially to tell members of the young church in ancient Corinth that they needed to stop squabbling amongst themselves, because although each church member has different talents and different roles to play, they are equal in God's eyes, and all have an important role to play in his body here on earth. When churches want to motivate people to do more good deeds for Christ and for their communities, it's common to quote this passage and then to encourage people to step forward to be God's loving heart, his listening ear, his weeping eye, his globe-trotting feet, and his helping hands. We are reminded that Christ is our head. He is the brains of the Christian enterprise, and he has appointed various ministers and preachers as mouths to preach his message. Now, writing 2,000 years ago, St. Paul's access to biological knowledge meant he could only carry his metaphor so far. He didn't have Cambridge Science Park just up the road. So the brain issued commands, and if the other parts of the body obeyed them, all were honoured, as we heard, and if one part failed, then all suffered. However, I wonder, what else might St. Paul have written if he'd studied biology to the level that we can understand it now? And what might he have said about nerves? Now, there was another great Paul, more recently, who's written on this subject. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Dr. Paul Brand. Raise your hands if you have. Good, a few of you. So Dr. Paul Brand was the pioneer of reconstructive hand surgery, and he's an absolute legend in the treatment of leprosy. He's also worked with the well-known evangelist Philip Yancey, I'm sure many of you will have heard of, to write several books which combine biology and theology to re-examine our lives as human beings made in God's image. I can strongly recommend their books, and I unashamedly paraphrase from them today. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made is one of their books, and In His Image and The Gift of Pain, and there's also a really good biography of Paul Brand called 10 Fingers for God, and they really are inspiring reads. Leprosy, as we saw in the video about Arshad, is primarily a disease of the nerves and the nervous system. Starting with the colder extremities of the body, including hands, feet and eyes, this disease stops all feeling in patches of skin, and it thickens and contracts nerves, which then prevents movement and blocks the signals which transmit messages of touch back from those extremities to the central nervous system. It's a myth that leprosy causes fingers and toes to fall off. The horrendous injuries so often associated with leprosy are actually caused by everyday accidents, which could happen to anyone, but usually don't. Why usually not? Because our hypersensitive sense of touch and our superfast nervous system, the original and ultimate broadband network, transmit warnings that make us immediately address the threat to us. The stone in our shoe, the splinter under a fingernail, the hot saucepan that we've picked up, the thorn in a bare foot, the dust in our eye, the blister from using a spade or carrying a heavy weight, pins and needles in our legs just from sitting still for too long, the mosquito which landed on our wrist, even the rat nibbling at our toes while we sleep. These are all everyday hazards which people all over the world negotiate every day and usually survive through simple changes of position, grip or behaviour. But we can only do this because our skin can feel these threats and our nerves keep sending warnings about them all around the body until we do something. Indeed, if we try to ignore these threats to our body, the signals of pain will grow and grow until nothing becomes more important to us than finding that speck of dust in our eye or the splinter and dealing with it right now. And this is why pain, although unpleasant, is really a gift from God. Because without any of the warnings caused by our sense of pain, we would live in a world of constant dangers which can literally destroy our bodies. Paul Brand's decades of work with people affected by leprosy in India showed an even more disturbing side to the link between our nervous system and our wider health. People who have leprosy frequently injure their hands and feet, causing loss of fingers and toes and severe ulcers, which can lead to amputations, as we saw in the video earlier. They stop being able to use these parts of their body. What is even more worrying is that they sometimes reach a point where they seem to stop caring about these parts of their bodies. Robbed of their dignity and their self-esteem by social stigma and discrimination, they no longer care what they look like. and deprived of their sense of pain and of feeling by skin and nerve damage, they can even stop caring what happens to their hands and their feet. If I can't feel it, it doesn't bother me. Now, to most of us, that is a horrifying thought. How can anyone not care about their own fingers and toes? You must be thinking. So let's return to Paul's letter. If the worldwide church is Christ's body, what do we think of the state of its skin and its nervous system today? As with leprosy, it's usually the edges and the weaker parts of the body of Christ which come under attack first. The Christians in the Middle East and North Africa, often surrounded by violently hostile Islamist movements. The church in China or North Korea, still viewed as a political threat. The youth in our own church, whose developing faith has to compete with hormones, peer pressure, and so many exciting temptations and distractions. And all over the world, the poorest people, for whom life is a daily struggle of hard choices with little margin for error, whose pastors and church leaders even are unpaid and find themselves torn between the concerns of their flock and the need to take something home to feed their own children with. These are the parts of the body of Christ which are really under attack, I think. And yet, how often do the messages from these parts of the body of Christ make their way back up through the nervous system to the other parts of the body of Christ which might be able to help? Let us suppose that a church worker in a rural part of Africa is playing the role of Christ's feet. He or she is travelling around, miles and miles around villages, bringing the good news and helping people to meet their needs. As the walking gets tougher on a steep slope through a hot afternoon, or even because there's a sudden need to run to avoid danger, the feet and legs need a faster supply of more oxygenated blood. In a well-functioning body, the nervous system transmits messages to the heart and lungs, and they'll work harder and keep the feet and legs going with whatever challenges they face. Now, let us suppose that the church here in the UK and in other rich countries is the heart and lungs of Christ's body. We didn't necessarily choose this role, it's an accident of geography. But nonetheless, we find ourselves with a completely disproportionate share of the world's resources flowing through us. Do we simply slow down, enjoy life, let the fat build up and clog the arteries through which these resources should flow? Do we submit ourselves in long hours of meetings and prayers to God, the head of our body, to seek his guidance on when, where, and how we should be pumping around all this blood? By blood, of course, now I mean the abundant resources, skills, and talents which we enjoy here. In a human body, we don't actually consult the brain all the time to regulate our breathing and our blood flow. I challenge you to try and hold your breath for as long as you can. Now, even if your mind is telling you not to breathe, you can't actually suffocate yourself in that way. The body will automatically make you breathe when it has to. You can't tell your lungs not to breathe. You can't tell your heart to stop beating. You can't even tell it to slow down when a sudden burst of adrenaline kicks into overdrive. Like if a bike pulls out in front of you when you're driving. Now, we were created with many bodily functions which work on this kind of autopilot, regulated by our nervous system. It responds to many of our bodily needs without stopping to consult the head. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray to God, our head, and seek his guidance, because we must. But sometimes we can spend a long time doing this when really we already know the answer. The Bible tells us again and again to help the poor and needy, to defend the widows and the orphans, to speak up for those who face injustice, and to encourage those whose faith might stumble. That is what God requires of us. Yet to do this effectively, we must be connected to them by a living and responsive nervous system. To do this, we must actually feel some of their pain in order for it to trigger the correct response in us. If we have back pain or a headache, how many of us swallow a painkiller and then carry on doing what we were doing before, lifting heavy loads or staring at a computer screen for hours and hours of a day? The things that have caused the backache or the headache. Perhaps what we should be doing is responding to this nervous signal by changing our load or our posture, or by stepping away from the screen for a few minutes. Likewise, if we're watching TV and the news comes on with a tragic story, do we immediately switch over to a comedy channel to block out the pain? Or do we watch it, learn more about the issue, read articles, look at websites about the issue, and then take whatever action we can to help those involved? If a friend or a relative is telling us a long story about their latest health problem, work crisis, or relationship issue, do we always listen attentively? Or do we nod sympathetically whilst actually reading messages on our smartphone? In today's technological world, we have the opportunity to be more connected than ever before. We can get information, photos, video even, from almost anywhere in the world in an instant. Yet we can also use this same technology to distance ourselves from almost everything that matters. To be in a room with someone, but not really present. How many times have you even been to a restaurant and seen people who've gone out for a lovely meal and yet they're sat using their smartphones rather than talking to each other? Or to suppress any contact. We can suppress any contact with the harsh realities of life, with a constant stream of funny YouTube videos, cute pictures of cats on Facebook, or endless cookery programs on TV. So what's my message from this sermon? Am I asking more people to support the leprosy mission? Well, yes, it would be wonderful if more people supported this work, which helps some of the world's most vulnerable people. And I'd like to thank those of you who already do. It would be wonderful if more people supported BMS World Mission, Tear Fund, and the other great Christian charities which also work where the needs are greatest, including some causes here in the UK. However, there's a bigger point to this sermon, which is to urge us all to learn from the people affected by leprosy. People for whom the inability to feel pain leads to damage and neglect of parts of their bodies, ultimately destroying their whole lives, and proving, as St. Paul wrote, that when one part suffers, all suffer together. What we can learn from them is that becoming disconnected from other parts of the body will lead to the damage and neglect that will ultimately cause the whole body to suffer. My message today is the importance for the body of Christ of having a well-connected nervous system. One way we are alert to people's needs, wherever they are, where we make the effort to learn about the issues which face our world and our own influence within them as church members, as consumers, as investors, as voters. A nervous system where our response to other people's pain is not to ignore it or suppress it with painkillers, but to engage with it by seeking an effective response. As our church considers the shape of our future ministry, let us please ensure that we are well connected to other people, to other churches, and to the global issues that really matter. I would like to close my sermon with this short video about the leprosy missions work in Nepal. And it really brings home how interconnected the issues are which affect many of the world's most vulnerable people, and why they will continue to need help in many forms long after their stories have dropped off the news headlines. Can we have the rebuild Nepal video? Thank you.
Two powerful earthquakes hit Nepal. Over 9,000 people were killed and tens of thousands were injured. The Anandaban region was badly hit and the leprosy mission's Anandaban hospital was damaged by the quakes. Many of the doctors and nurses at the hospital were left homeless when their houses collapsed. Despite the damage and the dread of more loss of life as the aftershocks continued, the medical staff worked round the clock to help and heal the hundreds who flooded to the hospital from the surrounding area. Lives were saved, hundreds of operations took place. The situation was so severe that patients were moved outside for fear of the hospital collapsing. Many patients were not only physically affected, but also suffered unimaginable trauma as they saw loved ones killed in the earthquake. Krishna is 58 years old and the earthquake has left him as a widower. But even before the earthquake, Krishna had suffered so much. He contracted leprosy many years ago when he was a teenage boy. But because it wasn't diagnosed and treated quickly, the disease damaged his hands. The damage is permanent. Today, he is grieving for his dear wife. His home has collapsed, and he has lost the only way he had to earn a living. Krishna wanted to share his sad story with us. Krishna told us that he was outside his home when the earthquake struck. Suddenly, he heard a cracking sound. He shouted for his wife to come outside, but she tripped at the doorway as she rushed to leave. The house collapsed on top of her and killed her. And Krishna saw it all happen right in front of him. He told us that the shock was too much and he passed out. Krishna was in such grief after the earthquake that he wanted to die. But his two sons need him. He is all they have. Now Krishna is determined to look after his son, even though he has so little. April is the anniversary of the earthquakes. Nepal has dropped from the news headlines, but that doesn't mean the problems have gone away. Winter is coming in Nepal, and many people are still living in temporary shelters under tarpaulins. The leprosy mission staff in Nepal are very concerned about how people disabled by leprosy will cope in the icy cold weather. Please will you help us rebuild Nepal? Your gifts will rebuild homes and lives in Nepal, giving families like Krishna's the chance to begin to rebuild their lives. A gift of £55 could provide a pallet of 500 bricks to help rebuild homes. A donation of £550 could build two new walls for a family home for people like Krishna. A wonderful donation of £2,500 could completely rebuild an earthquake-resistant home for a family devastated by the earthquake. Thank you for watching this film. Please consider donating to Rebuild Nepal. Your gift will truly rebuild people's lives.